Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and this is your destination for all things African business. And we are going to be talking about an interesting topic today. We are talking about the tobacco industry and some of the efforts that are being made by the industry to possibly reduce usage, you know, of tobacco, and trying to understand, you know, what does it actually mean for the industry? Can you actually be profitable still as a tobacco company, you know, if people are using less of your product? And on the line, we're going to be talking to Nitesh Ramji, who is the Director of External Affairs at Philip Morris South Africa. For those who don't know, Philip Morris is one of the largest tobacco companies globally, and they've actually had a couple of initiatives. One that particularly it sparked me, it sort of intrigued me, was Philip Morris actually launched a new campaign on Tinder that actually was encouraging singles to quit smoking. And the campaign was titled Unsmoke the World One Match at a Time. And it actually has reached over 1 million people in, and it did that in just about 2 weeks' time on the popular matchmaking platform. Nitesh, how are you?
Very well, thank you. And thanks for this opportunity.
If you know, don't mind my asking, like, in terms of Philip Morris, for those that might not know what you guys do, before we get into the actual, you know, core of the discussion, who is Philip Morris, and then what is the global footprint like? As I alluded in the beginning, my understanding is you guys are one of the largest tobacco companies in the world.
Yes, Philip Morris is a global tobacco company listed on the New York Stock Exchange. We're headquartered in Cape Town for the Southern Africa region. And traditionally, we produce the number one selling brand of cigarettes, Marlboro. But recently, we've made the bold decision to move away from cigarettes and to design a smoke-free future.
What actually has prompted that strategy?
Well, it's been a long time in the making, so more than 10 years worth of research and development in our facility in Neuchâtel in Switzerland, where we've got more than 400 scientists, and we've created a portfolio of products which are alternative to cigarettes. So the issue with traditional cigarettes is that you have to combust the tobacco. And in doing so, you produce smoke, which has a large number of harmful constituents. So the products which we have created don't involve any combustion. So as a result, you reduce the formation and the exposure of the user to a large number of the harmful constituents that would have otherwise been present.
Yeah. And from that point of view, can we perhaps say that this is a pivoting of Philip Morris's business, or would you say that it's more of an evolution of the business?
I think that we are totally disrupting our business. And I think when we talk about disruptive companies or disruptive technologies, it's often something coming from the outside. Existing players are then affected by new technology or new innovation. But what's happening here as one of the largest tobacco companies globally is that we are disrupting ourselves.
If you don't mind my asking, you don't have to tell us the actual sales figures, but so far, in terms of the proportion of the alternative products versus the traditional cigarettes, how has that reception been in the market? Simply because, you know, we're trying to understand, as a cigarette company or as a tobacco company, you know, what the future actually looks like for you guys if you're encouraging people to perhaps use less of the traditional cigarettes, for example.
Yeah, we are totally transforming our business. So in that transformation, we are shifting all of our resources away from conventional cigarettes towards this portfolio of reduced risk products. And according to the World Health Organization, there are currently 1.1 billion smokers in the world today. And by 2025, according to their own statistics, there will still be more than 1 billion smokers in the world. So for us, what we want to do is get existing smokers to switch to better alternatives. And hence our campaign, which is called Unsmoke, which is sort of a new verb that we created, where we're saying to people, if you don't smoke, don't start. And if you've already quit, then that's very good, stay that way. But if you continue to smoke, you should have the information to make a better choice. And this is not just for smokers, this is for loved ones of smokers, spouses, siblings, parents, children. Everybody should have the information, and that's why we wanted to have this conversation.
On that front, I guess I'm now then interested to understand perhaps some of the practical implications. You know, if I'm a smoker, for example, and I'm used to having my packet, let's say I'm smoking a pack of Marlboro every couple of days. How much is a packet of a standard pack of Marlboro at the moment? Just using that as an example, versus some of the alternative products, simply because you do have that tension of trying to make the case to an existing Marlboro smoker, for example, to say, why not try this alternative product?
Sure. So the alternative product which we've launched here in South Africa, this is the first market in Africa where we launched it, in about 50 markets around the world, is called IQOS. So IQOS is the electronic device which heats tobacco to just under 400 degrees, and as a result, you don't get the combustion. You just heat the tobacco and you get vapor, so you produce less harmful constituents, and you expose yourself to less harmful chemicals. And the consumable which is used with the IQOS device is called sticks. So those sticks contain real tobacco, which is heated, and they are priced in the same range as mid-price cigarettes. So the idea is that you need to encourage existing smokers to switch. So if you're going to price it too high, then you're going to create a disincentive to switch. So we are trying to price appropriately to get existing smokers to switch, and we also started with our own smokers. So in each of our Marlboro packs, we produced inserts to let people know about these alternatives. And that's the key thing for us, is we need to have more information and more ability to communicate to existing smokers to help them to make a better choice. And as a result, we're also engaging with the authorities so that we can get the right policies and the right legislation in place to allow people to switch and get the information.
I can imagine that from a distribution point of view, it must be an interesting one, simply because I know that in South Africa specifically, you've got townships, for example, where people are selling cigarettes, single cigarettes, for example. Or I know certain bars, you know, around the country where people will come in and buy like a single cigarette, you know, stuff like that. How do the demographics of South Africa feed into this strategy of trying to get the electronic devices into the hands of more people?
We've launched this product in 50 plus markets around the world, and each market is unique, so you have to adapt to the circumstances. So in the South African context, in terms of distribution, our products are available widely in the traditional key accounts, so in petrol stations, forecourts, and supermarkets. And the devices are available in our own retail stores through authorized resellers, tobacconists, etc. But what we are also doing to try and adapt to the market dynamics is create different mechanisms in terms of how people can access the device. So, for example, we've now instituted a program where you don't have to buy the device outright at the beginning. You can pay it off as well. So as we go, we learn, and as we're rolling out, we find new channels for our business, which are not the traditional channels that you would have seen for cigarettes.
I'm also interested in that the credit model that you guys are using there. How long does a person have to pay them off? I'm only asking simply because how much are the devices?
The devices range. We've got various devices. So we've got the IQOS entry-level device, and then we've got the IQOS Duo, which is something which allows you to use it twice in a row. And then we've got the IQOS Multi, which allows you to use it 10 times in a row. So it's also trying to look at the consumers and see how it is that we can address their needs. And the prices range from being 800 Rand upwards, depending on the bundle that you choose.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, and how long are they rated to sort of like last for? Because you're talking about continuous usage. I guess that's per, that's in a single session. But over the lifetime, you know, if someone invests in one of these, let's say I spend 1,000 Rand on one of the devices, how long am I likely to keep it for?
Yes, the device is an electronic device, so the battery does have a lifespan. So you can look at the lifespan of being sometimes up to 2 years, sometimes just a little short of that, but it depends on usage. And it's also something that we're continuously working on in terms of R&D. So when we started this journey 10 years ago, battery technology wasn't where it was today. So the first prototype devices and the one that we launched in Switzerland was a very big and bulky device. Every time you used it, you had to charge it, and you had to charge it for a long time. So with the evolution of technology, you're starting to see these things become more and more user-friendly, and we're adapting as we go.
And what has the reception been like in South Africa?
I think the reception has been very good. I think that it is a need that is being addressed. And I think that also we started with a slow rollout, but now we are starting to see that we are in all of the main touch points for consumers along their journey, you know, through their working life, and also now preparing for the festive season when people will be migrating back to their hometown and on holiday. So I think that the reception has been very good, beyond our expectations, and we're happy with the progress.
Do you guys have targets and timelines just around when you hope to cross certain thresholds in terms of getting the devices into people's hands as you make that transition from normal cigarettes to e-cigs?
So it's not a fixed timing which we've got in mind. Obviously, we're saying that we want to design a smoke-free future, a smoke-free South Africa, so we would like to see it happen as fast as possible. Take, for example, in a place like Japan, where we've been in the market for 4 years, up to 20% of smokers have switched to these alternative propositions now. So that's massive. And I think that in South Africa, what we need is, as I said, the right policies and laws so that we can communicate to smokers so that they can get the information that they need to make the switch. Also working through platforms like yours, we're able to at least get the conversation going.
On that front, I wanted to also check, it's something that you said earlier on at the beginning of the conversation, where you're talking about how the fact that the devices are heating up the tobacco, and the fact that it's not a lot of smoke anymore, means that you are essentially having a healthier perhaps a healthier product. Can you just talk to us a little bit around what some of those health implications are of making that switch?
Sure. So it's a reduced risk product in our terminology. It does reduce the formation of harmful constituents that you would have seen if you burnt the tobacco and created smoke. So by heating the tobacco, you create vapor, and there's a lot fewer of the harmful constituents. So it's not risk-free, it's a lot less risky, so it's a better choice. Recently also, we got the approval of the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA in the US, to be able to sell our products there. And there they went through the science, the data, the evidence thoroughly to say, yes, this product makes sense for our market and will allow it to be sold there. So our science is very robust, and the bottom line is that, again, those things that we were saying in terms of the unsmoke campaign, if you haven't started smoking or using nicotine products, don't. If you've already quit, that's good, stay that way. But if you are smoking, make a choice for a better alternative. But these are not risk-free, but they are not less risky.
And in terms of local regulation, how far are you there?
I think the window of opportunity is opening up now. So the current tobacco legislation has been in place for just over 10 years, and none of these products were on the market, so the laws never contemplated alternatives like this. So I think the opportunity exists now to either amend definitions so that it can incorporate new products. But I think that we should create a new dispensation whereby people who want to access the information can access the information so that they can make a better choice. And like I said, it's not just for smokers, it's also for loved ones of smokers that want to get people to quit or change.
Now, I just want to switch focus globally as we wrap up. To maybe get a sense from Philip Morris just around how you guys are protecting yourself, especially since you've sort of decided that you're making that complete switch away from traditional cigarettes and you're now switching to the e-cigs. How are you guys protecting yourselves from some of the scandals that a company like Juul has had to endure? Because I'm sure that has put a lot of scrutiny just around products like the ones that you guys have developed.
Yeah, I think that, as I mentioned, our science is very robust, and key for us is to be transparent about this. So all of the science, we put it online, we want people to get the information, and we just want to have a straightforward conversation. If you are going to smoke, just know that there are better alternatives for you now, and also to state clearly these products are not risk-free, but they are a lot less risky than conventional cigarettes.
Okay. The campaign that I alluded to earlier on, the one that was, run through Tinder locally, what was the rationale for using Tinder as a platform? Simply because in terms of, marketing and campaigns, it's not a platform that we typically tend to see people, making use of or making allusions to, So what was the rationale for using that as a way to drive this message?
I think that the rationale is that we're trying to reach as broad an audience as possible. So, as we know, Tinder is one of the most popular apps downloaded in South Africa, and that's just one avenue for us. So I think the message is universal, and we want to get it out there to get the dialogue going and to say to people, you now have choices, here's the information.
And that was us with Nitesh Ramji, who is the Director of External Affairs at Philip Morris South Africa. They are one of the largest tobacco companies in the world. And he was just running us through the fact that as a company, they've taken a decision to disrupt their own business model by switching over, trying to get to a place where they get their existing cigarette buyers to actually switch over to e-cigs, which he says are much less risky, not completely risk-free, but much less risky, and they're saying that they have the science to back it up. Nitesh, how can people perhaps get in touch with you guys, or at least read some of the literature that you guys have available around switching over to e-cigs, or people that want to know more about the product?
Yes, I think that's key for us. So we have our website, icos.co.za. And that will also clearly illustrate that our proposition is not an e-cigarette, but it's real tobacco, which is heated, not burnt. And also you can go to unsmokeyourworld.com, which is this campaign that we've been speaking about.
unsmokeyourworld.com. So that's been it for this episode of the Business Day Spotlight. It is episode 56. Remember that you can find the latest podcast of the Business Day Spotlight on the Business Day Spotlight tab. That's on Business Live, and then you can find us on Twitter. Our hashtag is #BDSpotlight. You can also review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Mob Justice Kavaza, and this has been the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for everything that is African business. Remember that the Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.